Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jesus, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Welcome to the MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with the great Sean Big Sexy McCorkle. And then we have Austin Vanifer coming in. Don Fry might come in. Who knows? Yeah, it's been a crazy, crazy last couple days. I saw Mayhem yesterday. He came over to the house. That was awesome.
So he's out then, huh? Is he done, or has he got to go back, like another hearing, or is he done with all his trouble?
No, he's done. He's they threw out the case because it was like insane. I know he wants to come back on the podcast. I'll let him talk about it. I was like, I'm really happy he's not in jail. Obviously, we hashed it out. We talked about it. You know, he apologized for some of the stuff that went on, and you know, it's all water under the bridge, and you know, everyone deserves an eighth chance.
Right.
And, I freaking loved you.
He took my line.
We had a great time. It was great seeing him. We laughed all night. I mean, he was over here for like 5 hours, him, Camilla, my wife, and it was great seeing him. And he looks good. He looks like he's in shape. He's in a lot better shape than he was coming out than he was going in. So happy for him. And, Jason says he wants to come back on the podcast, but he'll come on when he's ready, and he'll talk about all the shit he's going through. I don't want to speak for him. Just to let you know that Jason's in a really good place, and he's really happy, and we were laughing all night long, and it was cool to have my old friend back. So that's awesome. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing good, man. I've been doing – this is probably a completely uninteresting story, but I think – what'd you say?
Some reason you're like, muted.
What? Let me see. Says I'm not. Can you hear me?
Let me see. Sean, what about now?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Now I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not – okay. Yeah, now on my end. I'll tell you what, man, I got rich people problems, but I'm building a pond out in front of my house, like a big 1 acre pond, right? Or it was supposed to be like 1 acre pond with an island in the middle. Have these guys come out, seem like the greatest guys ever, a huge company. They got millions of dollars in equipment, all this stuff. So as the pond starts to take shape, I'm noticing more and more, it's looking about a quarter the size we agreed on, you know? Hmm. So I talked to a guy, who's one of the guy partners in it. Like, he came out, I said, hey, you know, it's in a 1 acre pond with an island in the middle, right? He's like, well, you know, I mean, it's, you know, we'll see. And I'm like, no, we won't. That's what we agreed on, you know? And well, yeah, I mean, you know, this ground kind of slopes. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not paying for anything besides a 1 acre pond. And by the way, it was going to be done in 2 weeks, and they started March 1st. So, and it's still going on. So they get about a quarter of it done, and they're like, hey, is there any way we can get a front on some money? And I'm like, okay, how much? Like 6,000? I'm like, it's only supposed to be 10,000, what, 60%? Well, it might be closer to 12. And I'm like, nah, that's not what we agreed on, man. And so I go ahead and give them 6,000. They said, well, we're going to get it done by the end of the week. So, you know, like, okay. I didn't see them then for 6 or 8 weeks after I gave them the money. So after many threats, they kept saying the ground's too wet, you know, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't too wet when they got the 6,000, but it was too wet, you know. They come back out and start digging, and then I realize they think that they're taking what is going to be a 1 acre lake with a pond with an island in the middle, and they're just going to cut across a small channel. So there's like 80 feet of water from the island on one side, and there's going to be 8 feet distance from the island to the other side. They think they're just going to cut a small channel, and that's that, like a moat around the island on one side. And I'm like, nah, it's not going to work. Anyway, we're going on and on. I was telling my girlfriend, it was funny because I was like, I don't know what these guys are going to say, because I went out and marked an acre. I actually looked it up. I went out and took a string with spray paint, walked to the perimeter. That's an acre. You know what I mean? Like, or whatever. Cut my grass around it. Hey, guys, that's an acre. Talk to all three parties involved. That's an acre. I expect an acre. So they still are just digging that little thing, acting like that's, you know, they said, well, I mean, where do you want this extra dirt at? And I was like, what do you mean, the extra dirt? What do you mean? Well, I mean, we got extra dirt. We're going to have to, you know, pay charge the whole way. I was like, no, you guys aren't done yet. What are you talking about? And so I go out and talk to the old man who's the boss, super nice guy, 80-some years old. I explain to him, you know, we agreed on an acre pond. We agree, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know why the pond or why the island is 80% of the way on one side, you know, all this different stuff. And his response was, yeah, I don't know. Like, that's what his response was. He's like, the owner of the company. And I'm like, okay, well, I do know.
Oh, my God.
So then they start, they get a couple more, you know, like bulldozers out here start working again. And I think they still think now they're just going to cut one more side a little bit back and then they're going to be done. Like, it's the most amazing thing ever. But I just cracked up because of all the answers I expected. I don't know, wasn't one of them. I was like, you know, I mean, you guys, if you were going to excavate for a big warehouse, because it's a huge company, and they said they wanted a 200 by 200 area, 10 feet deep, you wouldn't do it 100 by 75 feet, 3 feet deep, and be like, hey, we need our money. And he's like, yeah, it's, you know, it's a lot of dirt. And there's, you know, it's you know, this line over here, and an acre's 208 by 208. And yeah, I don't know. So,
wow. And,
that's been my week all week.
What's going to happen when they come up to you and say, "This, it's over. It's done"?
Then I actually told a guy that worked for him, because the boss wasn't here. I told him he might relay the message that I'm extremely petty and have too much time on my hands, and I will spend the next 10 years ruining their business if they don't give me my money back. But what's going to happen is I'm going to keep getting them to do as much as they'll do, and then I'm not paying them any more money. And I don't think I'm paying them even when they finish the pond, even if they finish an acre, I may not pay them. Like, I may just be like, listen, I'm done with this. Cause all I can do is put a lien on my property. But it's like, it is, like I said, rich people problems, but it's just the funniest thing ever. You go out and talk to them. And like, we agree, this is an acre. What I outlined in spray painted that line, that's an acre. That's what we're going to do. Right. Well, you know, I mean, he probably should have quoted you a little higher. And I'm like, that's, he works for you, not me. Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, it's ground's a little bit wet. It's a lot of dirt out here. Like, and I'm like, yeah, it's just change the subject every time. But it was, I'll send you a picture of it later. Not that it's interesting, but it's hilarious what they thought they were going to do. Like, have 80 feet of water surrounding on half of it, and then just a little 8-foot channel on the other side of the island. So, I don't know. Oh, he actually told me too. Yeah, I mean, we can't move the island. I was like, why would you move the island? It's only like a quarter of an acre right now. Why would you move the island to the middle? And he's like, well, I mean, otherwise we're going to have to cut all the way out there. I was like, yeah, the acre we agreed on, otherwise you will. So,
all right, well, don't do anything crazy. All right.
Yeah, no, that's I try not to put it in writing if I'm going to, because it's a bad idea.
Don't throw everyone in the pond.
I want to say this real quick before I forget. I've had 5 or 6 messages that I never saw on Instagram, all people telling me, dude, I love the podcast. Every time you trash shop, that's the only reason I watch. And they're like, please keep it up. My friend told me about it. He said that you trash shop on here. I hate that guy's guts. Like, it's all like, there's a lot of people out there like that. Also, I probably got like 30 messages in the past month like that. Like, dude, keep up the fight against Schaub. We're behind you. And I'm like, I don't know. It's something else. So,
well, I had a birthday party. Schaub was not invited to that party.
That's a shame.
I had a 43rd party. And I told my wife I'm going to have 10 people. And I ended up inviting like 100. It was a lot of fun. The Uncle Creepy came with like a bag of like mushrooms to give out to people.
Naturally,
those people give like goodie bags, and I think there were other drugs in there too. And I'm like telling people, like, okay, if you take, you know, ayahuasca or whatever this guy's giving out, fine, but I don't want to find you in my kids, you know,
right,
you know, playground, because we have a slide inside that Russell Peters. I don't want to see it, like, 4 days later I'm looking through it and it's like one of my friends is in there having a bad,
right,
you know,
talking to an elf or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw a picture of your house on online, man. You posted something. That's a nice house, dude. That's a huge – I mean, not that your last house wasn't nice, but that's a huge upgrade, man. That is a really, really nice house.
I mean, if you follow my – since I got married, it's just been like – and then Victor Ortiz showed up at my party. I never met him before. But my buddy was like, hey, you mind if Victor Ortiz shows up? So I was like –
that's random.
Like, yeah, I'm like, sure. He was the nicest guy ever. He was telling me crazy – I don't know if I'm supposed to tell the story, but I'm like, hey, are you friends with De La Hoya? He says De La Hoya hates him because he knocked him out twice in sparring in Big Bear, because De La Hoya was turning it up, so they threw him out of camp. He's got so many crazy stories like that. And he hates Tony Ferguson.
Random person to hate?
Like, they got into it at, like, the gym, him and Tony Ferguson. Like they hate each other. But then he was the nicest guy. He came to my show Friday, Victor did, with, like, a bunch of his buddies. And then I did a show last week. So I'm on stage, and there's this, like, a guy and a girl, and the guy looks kind of effeminate looking, but, like, you know, he's, like, a good-looking guy and girl, and I'm like, oh, you guys together? They're like, yeah, we're married, and I'm like, how'd you get her, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, so how long are you guys dating for, or married for? And then the guy, in, like, a high voice, goes, well, we met 6 years ago, but I was a lesbian back then. And I was like, what? I was like, so you transition? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, I mean, they, you know, I go, well, whoever doctor you went to, that's the doctor they need to go to, you know, because I had no idea. And then I did like 10 minutes on it. I'm like, well, you know, she was probably bored with you as a girl anyway. So it's probably good. You're going to mix it up. And then they were dying laughing, thankfully. But I was saying how, like, do you ever, like, you know, back in the day you had more energy, but now that you're a guy, you just want to hang out and watch football. And, like, you won't.
Right. That's awesome.
It's just crazy. You know, we were talking about that, how, like, you know, the whole issue with, like, men, transgender females in female sports is, like, a hot topic, you know. And like, Caitlyn Jenner's against it, right? But like there's someone who might be an expert on this, right? I mean, like, if anyone knows about this, like, shouldn't we listen to the guy who was the best athlete in the world who's now a female?
Can you imagine if he had transitioned back then and competed against girls? Like, he could beat every man, and then he could really beat every girl.
Oh, my God.
But I, like, wonder about all the time, though, man. Like, I'm not very good at basketball anymore, but I could dominate the WNBA. Like, I really could. So if I identify as a woman, can I go make $75 a year, whatever WNBA players make? I don't know, but could I go do that? Because I guarantee there's not a woman in the world that can beat me one-on-one still in basketball.
Still?
Yeah. Now, you don't – as much physically as you might lose, like, I haven't forgotten how to play, you know? So, like, I know exactly – like, you wouldn't forget how to wrestle or anything else. You know, you may not have it physically, but I know how to – I know positioning, know where to put myself. I still shoot real well and stuff like that. So I know how to play. So, yeah, I don't think there's any girl that I wouldn't dominate basketball.
First time I went to, like, a jiu-jitsu class, like, years ago, back before everyone was, like, a black belt, I was just holding everyone down. And, like, it was, like, my first class ever. And in the gi. And everyone was asking me, like, wow, you know, what belt are you? And where do you study jiu-jitsu at? And I was like, I just wrestled, dude. Like, I wasn't even going for, like, submissions. I was just going to hold people down, you know? Just basically pin them for 10 minutes. So my wife's on this new diet. She says it's not a diet. She calls it a fast mimicking protocol. And I go, we have all this food there. I go, what do you mean? She's like, oh, it's this thing that, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow, it extended her life by 5 years. I'm like, how do you know she's still alive? And they're like, trust me, I'm an expert on this. I'm like, what, getting scammed? And then that became a whole thing. You know,
can you imagine if Gwyneth Paltrow died today? It'd be like, she would have died 5 years ago if she hadn't been on that diet. That's so strange.
They said they tested her blood and how old she is. Like,
right.
I'm like, come on. This sounds fucking so stupid. So, by the way, Mayhem has some of the crazy. I thought his stories from jail were crazy before. This new crop of stories. Oh my God. Because I guess before they had him isolated, and now he was with general population. And telling me about who ran the jail and the gangs and some of the stuff he saw and how he was training. And oh my, I mean, this dude has like 30 lives, bro. I can't wait for him to come on and talk about it.
You need to do like a Charlie Rose style interview, just you and him, and talk about the prison prison experience, man. It's I watch some of those things on YouTube sometimes, like guys talk about how it is in prison, and I've decided I probably don't want to go. You know, if I can avoid it. It is that's a whole other world in there, man.
No, 100%. And then he was like using prison terms, and I'm like, wait, what's that? And he had to like explain to me what it was. Like, he was doing it by accident. He was like, oh no, that guy was a K blah blah. I'm like, wait, what? And then so let's talk about some of the fights that went on. Cody No Love versus Rob Font. Man, I don't know. I feel I like Cody No Love a lot. He's a, you know, I've always liked Cody No Love, but I don't know where he goes from here. I honestly don't. He did not look like he was like two steps behind. And what's crazy was that normally when he lands those punches, guys can't take it. So then you got a guy like Rob who could oh, thank you. Thanks a lot. Let's say hi to Sean.
Sean? Hi.
Oh, shit. Oh,
yeah. You know, I'm doing good. How you doing?
Yeah, he was at our wedding.
Yeah, I met her. Yeah. I was at your wedding.
Yeah.
Bye.
See ya.
So, I don't know where I got to say that his chin got better as the fight went on, which was like crazy. I never saw a guy who got like totally rocked in the first, look like he was out, and then take harder shots and be able to walk through them. How is that possible, Sean?
I don't know. I stopped watching once he got rocked because I had lost so much that night on I bet Chris Barnett, my buddy, to beat Rothwell. More with my heart than my head, I guess, but I really thought he might do it. So I had lost so much money by that point. I put a ton on Garbrandt because I was like, I just think he wins his fight. You know, watch him fight and watch a couple of his highlights. I was like, I think he wins. So when he started losing, I turned it off and just accepted that not only had I lost all the money before, I lost everything I was trying to make back with that fight on one big bet. And I didn't even look at the results till the next morning because I knew he was going to lose. Like, I was like, it's over, man. I don't know, man. It's a weird sport. You sometimes you want to think that guys are just getting passed up by the newer generation and stuff. But I mean, I think Cody Garbrandt a couple of years ago wins that thing. You know, like, I don't know, man. The one that fought Dominic Cruz beats that guy every time. So I don't know what happens. I don't know.
What's crazy was that the alpha male guys, like, when TJ and them got into it, he kept leaking that Cody's chin is shot, but no one ever saw it in a fight. But it was like the alpha male guys almost knew that that his chin wasn't as, like, not right. So that was like the weird part. I guess maybe when you saw it in the TJ Dillashaw fight, what sucks about that fight also was that he got busted for steroids against the Henry fight. So you wonder how much, if he took it against Cody, and then you're like,
right,
this guy gets spoiled by a guy who was on juice, you know? And that's like another thing that's like depressing about it. The whole thing is depressing.
That's why I hate, man, these guys that, you know, Cody, I think I read somewhere he had like 140 amateur boxing matches as a kid or whatever. And I used to have an old boxing coach. He was actually, his dad was a former world champion in the 30s. And Wes Ramey, he was an awesome, awesome guy. But he used to tell me all the time to quit sparring hard in practice. You wouldn't think that's typically the boxer mentality, spar, you know, 100% this and that. And he said, you only have so many knockouts in you, not giving, but taking. He said, your brain only takes so many. He said, these guys are knocking each other out twice a week in the gym. You're just into, like, you're shortening your career. You're doing the opposite of Gwyneth Paltrow's diet. Like, you're, you know, like your career shortening by 5 years. So, like, you know, but people always say, like, act like I was a pussy because I want to spar real hard during practice. I was like, no, I don't want Matt Mitrione kicking me in the head when we're supposed to be practicing wrestling. Like, I don't want a shin to the side of the head that drops, you know, or whatever.
Does your chin get, like, can you absorb more, obviously, because you're a bigger guy, but, like, getting hit by Matt Mitrione, does that take more fucking years off your life than,
I'm sure, yeah. I went to a new doctor the other day trying to still fix my back, and he said, have you ever had a concussion? I said, probably several. Never diagnosed, I know of. I said, but, yeah, I mean, Matt Mitrione hit me one time after the bell. Actually, it was like a 5-piece combo after the bell, like, because I was already stopped. I started turning it with the 5-piece. When we first started training with each other, I wasn't right for 4 or 5 days. I got lost on my way home, driving home, and ended up downtown, like 30 miles from my house. Didn't know where I was at. Had to call somebody to tell me what I was supposed to do that night. I was like, were we supposed to go somewhere? I'm completely confused. And I literally had a headache for 5 or 6 days after that and felt just confused and dizzy. And I thought that was shortly after Tim Sylvia had popped my eardrum with a punch, because I was wearing headgear, which made it so the air compressed and popped my eardrum, and then I couldn't hear for days. You know, like, it was like stuff like that. I never agreed with that kind of sparring, man. I think it's a terrible idea, not just for your short term, not like long term, but also for your fighting career, you know?
Yeah, that's the one thing about wrestling is like that, like, we never had to worry about, you know?
Right.
Is that as hard as wrestling was, and physically it was hard, and then you never got brain damage wrestling. You know, right. I mean, don't get me wrong. You like, but it wasn't like I was getting dizzy. I mean, once in a while, you go against a guy, you click on heads, and you start seeing stars going everywhere. But it's not like it wasn't like, I'd say boxing is a way more fucking horrible sport for your head than CTE. Than
right.
And wrestling and jiu-jitsu, they're almost like, even jiu-jitsu, I would say, by going out and getting out conscious. It has to be worse for you than wrestling.
Oh, I had one time when I was always real prideful. So especially when I first started jiu-jitsu, I had a Brazilian coach here have me in a collar choke, and we did an 8-minute rolling session, and I didn't know anything about jiu-jitsu. I was almost passing out for 8 minutes straight. Like, I would get out of it and breathe a little bit, and then I would start to go out again, and I just wouldn't tap. And he couldn't afterward. He was like, I don't know how you avoided tapping. I said a couple times I was probably out, but I just would come back too or whatever. But he didn't like it because I'd submitted in my first class in front of his students, and he was like, bro, I haven't been submitted since I'm in the United States. I was like 100 pounds heavier than him. But literally choking me unconscious for 8 minutes. That probably wasn't – I didn't feel right after for a couple days after that either. You know, like, it It's crazy, man. Especially the collar choke. It wasn't just like a, you know, hit you or something, like a collar choke where someone's strangling you with your gi, yeah. You know? So,
yeah, I actually miss it back in the day when, like, it was just funny. I don't miss it, but it was funny back in the day when, like, some of the names on these chokes that Rogan would start saying, like, he's pulling off a rape choke, and then all of a sudden the internet would fucking go crazy. Or like this guy's got a retard strength. Like the things he was saying was like, it was so anti-PC, you know. But and then all of a sudden the comments would just like start flooding.
I got in trouble by the UFC because I actually was claiming that when Miguel Torres got released for making his rape joke, I said I was actually the first one to ever make a rape joke while under contract with the UFC. You know, or whatever. Because when I was using Stefan Struve, I was holding him down by his neck and punched him. And Yves Levine kept saying, stop doing that. Like, I'm not allowed to hold his neck. And I'm like, I'm not grabbing his Adam's apple. I'm just holding him down. He kept saying, stop doing it. And I told Ariel Helwani, I said, I thought the rape choke was one of the most underutilized techniques in all of MMA. And he was like, really? I said, yeah, and in rape.
Oh, God.
Because I just had to, you know, it comes out sometimes. And then Ariel thought it was funny, and so did Matt Mitrione. And then later on, the UFC didn't like it, which I can't blame them. Sometimes you aren't. I don't know. Sometimes I'm not thinking when I make jokes, but
I can see why. I mean, it's a funny joke, but it, you know, you're running. It's different when you're running a brand. You know, it's like
right. I the funniest thing ever is the one they got the maddest about was when I said, "There's two things I can't stand: racism and interracial dating." That was the one that got me released from my contract or whatever. Like it was of course, it was right after Joe Silva warned me to stop saying racist stuff on Twitter. So, but I was making a joke. I thought it was funny, and they didn't like it. So,
By the way, before we get to the next fight, Josh Fabian and Diego Sanchez are done.
I saw that. I don't know if that was real or not, though. I thought maybe it's part of Fabian's strategy. Like,
so Diego left him, and now Fabian's saying that he was the one that got taken advantage of.
Right.
And that he feels used, and that Diego came to him, and he was driving a $3,000 car, living in an apartment. And Josh took him in and took care of his whole life. And
took him in, hung him upside down, and smacked him, and then Diego leaves. What an ungrateful son of a gun.
I mean, what a fucking psychopath. Let's just get rid of this guy in MMA. You know, like, let's just get rid of him. Like, no more. I'm so happy that Diego's done with this dude. So happy for him. Hopefully Diego will get the help he needs and realize that, come on, man, you got to watch out for people like that.
That whole thing was strange. I mean, I don't know, like, Diego was saying, like, that Dana won't return his calls. And I saw Dana say he can talk to me anytime he wants. All he's got to do is text me or call me. And then I know Dana returns my texts. And I haven't fought in the UFC for 9 years or whatever. And if I text Dana White, he texts me back. Like, I try not to ever bother him. But I just found that whole thing. I mean, that didn't sound right to me that he said he won't take my calls. He won't meet with me. Dana seems like the kind of guy that would meet with Diego Sanchez if he wanted to talk to him. I don't know. I could be wrong, but that seems – maybe not with Fabian, but with just Diego.
So Austin Vandefur is coming off a huge win, 30-27. He kicked some ass, and he fought Fabian Edwards, who I've had my eye on for a while. This dude is really good, a really good fighter. He was like 13-1 or something, some kind of crazy record. And Austin just beat him up, bullied him, took him down. Looked really good. Congrats, Austin.
Hey, thank you so much, buddy. Can you hear me good?
I can hear you good, man. That was
okay.
That was pretty damn impressive, man, because – that guy was – that's not a scrub. That's not an easy layup. That guy's really good, and you dominated him.
Yeah. I knew going into it was going to be a tough test. So I – but training hard, being here at American Top Team, I felt pretty well prepared for it.
Now, how messed up was your eye? Because you were gushing blood.
It was actually the middle of my forehead, man, not my eye.
So what happened?
It was like the last 30 seconds, and I was like, all right, I'm going to posture up. I knew at that point, it's like, I got the fight won, so I'm gonna like really just posture up. I'm not going to worry about anything, throw caution to the wind. And I got a little lax, and he threw an elbow. I was like, oh, motherfucker, he hit me with that elbow. And then I felt it right away. It's like, damn, he sliced me with that one. So, you know, but it was. I don't want to say it was a lucky elbow. It was kind of unfortunate that happened right there, but it was cool, and it made the end of the fight really fun. So
oh
it was
God.
Cool.
I mean, you have like gorilla strength. Like, I mean, you have that kind of like, I can't believe, because it didn't look like you guys were in the same weight class.
Yeah. Dude, wrestling, you know, buddy, you're a wrestler, man. It's that wrestling strength, man. And fishing in Alaska my whole life and all that. I put it all together.
Dude, I'm so happy for you, man, because I still think the UFC fucked up not getting you. But I'm also happy that they're not giving you easy fights anymore. Like that they're putting you in now in Bellator. They're taking you really seriously. I mean, you got to be ranked in the top 10 now, right?
Yeah, going into that, I was ranked third. So
now what are you? You're like second?
Yeah, I don't know if the new rankings that came out yet, but you know, I think I get a title shot in my next fight, and that's what I feel like I'm ready for, and that's what I feel like I deserve, and you know, fingers crossed, that's the next one. So whether it's Musasi or I think Tokov, there's a Russian in there, or one of those guys. So I'm excited.
Wow, that's crazy, man. I mean, I feel like it took you long, but then not really.
Yeah. I mean, I had a memory come up on my phone the other day, and it was like 5 years ago. It was like my second pro fight ever. So, and I, you know, had a couple of amateur fights before that. So I really haven't fought all that long. So, you know, like you said, it seems like it's taken a while, but at the same time, it has seemed really quick as well.
How many rounds have you lost?
One, maybe one. I don't know. I think
you've lost one round in your entire career.
Yeah. I think I've lost one round. So, you know, that the biggest thing, though, is just I'm still so eager to get better and to improve. And I think I still have so much room. I really don't think I've truly showcased like the most of my skill yet. So I'm excited for that, you know.
I know. McCorkle, what did you think of Austin's fight?
I was actually, man, I don't remember much of it because I was traumatized by the post-fight interview. Like, when his head was leaking, it was like the guy at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark when his face starts melting.
But
I kept thinking, man, somebody stop that. Because, I mean, it was just, like, it was pouring, man. Like, it was, that was something else. But I like the way Bellator does this the right way sometimes. Like, UFC, it seems like if you win two or three in a row, okay, you have to fight someone in the top three to help build them or whatever. But I like with Austin or Matt Mitrione, like when Mitrione first went there, they gave him a very good matchup for him because they wanted to build him a little bit, you know, like give him a couple fights. And every fight doesn't have to – the UFC sometimes have been like they ruined young guys because Austin's only had, what, like 9-10 fights. Why not let a guy – you know, I mean, step up the competition a little bit each time. It ain't like they're giving him gimme fights, but you also don't have to throw him with Musasi, his second fight in the promotion, you know, like it's kind of what the UFC does sometimes. I like the way Bellator does it, man. Like I think they – But if you look at Austin's record, I was looking at before the fight started, he's fought several guys that are now 8-2, 9-1, something like that. So it's the guys he's beaten have good records, man, if not big names. So they can fight.
He's also like a throwback fighter, like a ground and pound fighter. You know, like he just takes dudes down and just fucking punches them in the head. Which is pretty cool. I like it. By the way, how was training with Matt Hughes today?
I didn't really train with them. I came in, I had to pay my fees and all that. So I came into the gym. And then it's always nice to come in for your victory parade or whatever, you know, you kind of feel good going in. So, it was cool, man. Matt has been in, that's like the third time I think I've seen him in there, met him in there and stuff. And, really cool guy. So it was cool to get to go in there and see him, and he had watched my fight and was really happy for me and all that. So that was really cool too.
Yeah, Matt came to one of my shows, and he was sitting next to BJ Penn, and I'm like, oh, I didn't recognize you without BJ's nuts in your mouth. And then I just killed him. I was like, yo, man, you know, tell me, how many cousins have you fucked? Like, I was just totally – and he was – after the show, he goes, man, not many people I would let tell me that I have BJ's testicles in my mouth, and then I would fuck my cousin, but you're lucky I like you. He brought me a log thing. It was, like, really funny. So it was cool. Fucking Matt.
That's hilarious, man. Yeah.
Matt, he's my guy.
Yeah, those guys, Matt. Yeah, Matt and Dan Lambert, dude, those guys are all raunchy, man. They like to give me a hard time. I love it.
Good. Now, the rest of the car was pretty good. We'll talk about some of that. I thought, you know, I was obviously rooting for Leslie as my friend. She hung in there. I mean, she hung in there. She
got up,
but she showed so much fucking heart. I mean, Jesus. What did you think of the Cyborg fight?
Yeah, Leslie's Man, I didn't get to watch that one because I unfortunately had to run over and grab stitches really quick. So we were trying to like follow everything. We saw that the fight was going into like the fifth round, and we were pumped because we really like Leslie too. She's such a sweet girl, and you know, and we're friends with Cyborg as well too. So it, you know, kind of all that, but yeah, I mean, dude, she's as tough as they come, man. I knew Leslie would be a dog. I knew it'd be tough to get her out of there for sure.
And then Higo versus Caldwell, I kind of felt it. By the way, so I talked to Mayhem because Mayhem's out of jail. He got out of jail last week.
Oh, nice.
So he's out of jail.
Yeah, I knew that, yeah.
And he was cool. Telling me that AJ McKee, that thing he hit Caldwell with, he hits it on everyone at the gym. It's one of those moves that I guess looks a lot hard. It's a lot more painful than it looks.
Yeah.
I was like, how the fuck did Caldwell tap to that? But Mayhem is like, no, everyone at the gym gets hit with that. But that's like that guy's McKee's move. I thought he could have won that fight. I thought it was pretty close, the Higo fight. I kind of gave it to Caldwell, but I understand why they gave it to Higo. Did you watch that fight?
No, because that one was right after mine, so I went over. But and that was tough too, because I'm a Caldwell fan. I like Darian a lot, and we're in the same corner. The same side and stuff, so I was rooting for him, but so I didn't hear I it was a split, right? Split decision.
Yeah.
So you know, bummer, but that's his he just went down to 35, right? He had been at 45
35 one. like
dude, I mean, it was crazy.
I mean, he's got to be 6'1" or at least 6 feet.
Yeah, he's tall for sure. Yeah, it's crazy, but he looked good. I mean, after weigh-ins, he was good. We were right next to each other. He rehydrated well and all that. Didn't really struggle that much in the weight cut. So he'll be back. He's tough, man. He's on a good team down here at Sanford and all that. And he'll make the adjustments.
Now, Sean, this girl, Valerie Loretta, is that how you say it?
Yeah, Loretta. Yeah.
All right. Because we got to talk about this because. Austin, you got to be like an expert on this one. I think Sean's frozen, by the way. So this girl is a karate champion, I guess. She's a big karate back in the day. She won a lot of karate. She's hot. She's got a great ass, great tits, beautiful girl. She's a little very aggressive with her social media. Very like, look at me, look at like. I feel like she's a lot more aggressive than Paige was. Paige at least kind of eased into it. And then, you know, a little bit more like tongue in cheek. This girl is more like, I got the fucking best looking booty hole in the world. Fucking, you better fucking stare at it, whether you want it or not. And, you know, look, I mean, who doesn't want to stare at it? But she's you got to be able to back it up. Paige VanZant in the UFC won her first couple fights. I mean, against high level. I mean, you know, she beat Felice Herrig. She beat some pretty very good girls. She, you know, knocked out Rowdy Beck with a flying kick. Whereas Valerie was like 3-0, 2-0, and was not fighting the caliber of people that like Paige was or some of the other girls. And in this fight, she got dominated by a girl that was 2-1. She was a plus 700 favorite. And her corner, I've never seen a corner more honest with a fighter. Sean, did you see this? Her corner tells her she's going to the
third round. You got to watch it.
It's 1-1 and going to the third round. And Valerie dropped her in the first. And then she kept going for spinning fucking – everything was a spinning. And she kept getting taken down. And so the corner tells her, like, listen to your fucking corner. Stop with the fucking dumb spinning shit. You got to box. Your ground game is atrocious. You're gonna lose. I mean, which that was the thing where I'm like, okay, aren't you responsible for the ground game too if you're the corner? But okay, yeah, like you gotta throw 50 punches, just box. If you don't throw 50 punches, you're going to lose. Like, and just flat out tells her that, right?
Right.
A minute into the third, she goes for a fucking spinning and gets taken.
Right.
And loses the fight. Austin, I know this is your training partner. She's chasing your gym. So I know you're a little bit handcuffed here, but give me your thoughts.
Yeah. So of course, you know, we were in the back, and my head coach is the head jiu-jitsu, the head grappling coach at ATT So as you could tell, he was like, you know, trying to scream what he thought needed to be done and whatnot. But yeah, you know, she's a training partner there, and she, you know, she's got her talents and whatnot, but she's young, you know, she's 22. And I think she doesn't have a ton of MMA experience still, obviously. So, you know, you gotta be a little smart in those situations. And that girl really had like no striking at like zero fucking striking. And yeah. So her coach is right. She would have went out and threw 50 punches. She would have won the fight because she would have caught her with one for sure and knocked her out. But
I love the corner though. Whoever that corner is, God, I mean, I don't know about saying your ground game is atrocious, because what are you at that point? What are you gonna do to fix a person's ground game? I mean, like, but okay, fine. But telling the person you're going to lose unless you throw 50 punches and stop with the spinning shit was the fucking perfect. I mean, that was exactly like Big John McCarthy was like listening and just nodding his head in agreement. Like, you know,
yeah, so that was her coach is Steve Bruno, and I haven't really worked with him that much because there's so many coaches there, but he's got a reputation of being like very straightforward. He usually has a love-hate relationship with most of his guys, but you know, I thought it was fucking awesome. I thought it was perfect. Like, that's the kind of corner work I want if I'm in that situation. You know, I want brutal honesty and all that, because you know, you could tell after the fight, like, it gutted him. He wanted her to win so bad, and he does put in a lot of hard work with her. So,
why did she listen to him? Why did she go for a spinning fucking practice again?
You know, like I said, she's still young. You know, she's still obviously her background is, I think it's Taekwondo specifically, and you know, you tend to kind of go back to your roots, and I think Taekwondo's got a lot of spinning shit and all that. So
I don't know. I mean, but then so then she loses, and then she tweets out like, you know, she did get out of a lot of arm bars. Like, I got to
give her,
she had a lot of heart.
Yeah.
I was impressed with her heart a lot, actually, because a lot of
people.
But she said, everybody's to the people that said I was going to tap in one round, fuck you. No one said that. Like when you're a 700 favorite, like literally maybe one person, maybe the person you're fighting is saying that, but and then she posts an ass pic the next day, like fucking, not even like a wide shot, just her fucking like ass. Austin, you gotta talk to this girl, bro. You gotta tell her, like, look, we know she has a great ass, like everybody. But
no, Adam, you know what? My wife Paige tries to talk to her, and be, you know, because like I said, and go back to Paige's, you know, Paige's only losses in the UFC were like the legit of the legit fucking girls,
karate like Hottie and like
Rose, Karate Hottie, Rose, Amanda Ribas, like she had all of her fights were tough. So
yeah,
you know, but. Like I said, Valerie's young. She's on a good team. Like, I'll say that when it's time to buckle down and train, she works really hard. She shows up to classes. She needs to do a little more jiu-jitsu, obviously. You can see she needs to really focus on her grappling and whatnot. But, you know, she's marketing herself, you know, she's trying to make money, and you can't hate on no, on that. Hate. And no, you know,
I like seeing her ass. I'm fucking still a man. I'm not gonna like,
yeah.
I'm just saying, like, it's a little, I'm a little confused as to like, this is not normally, like, as long as I mean, Sean, what were you saying?
Oh, I was gonna say, like, I think that the only thing I would say, man, on as far as the coaching during the round goes, if you're gonna tell a fighter they suck, their ground game's atrocious, they don't belong in there, this and that. I think instead of going to fight, a more appropriate forum would be live on one of the world's most popular podcasts, like Joe Rogan did with Brendan Schaub. Like, I think that's the way to go. The only thing I would say is no one should push her into stand-up comedy, because that hasn't worked out well for Schaub at all. So maybe the girl.
Are you a Brendan Schaub fan?
Absolutely. He's one of my favorite. Like,
I keep seeing your little name pop up my head. I was so confused.
Yeah, I know. Schaub sucks really bad. He's gonna get smacked by me when I see him, and I haven't fought in years, but I will smack the shit out of him when I see him in person.
So back to
some fights that happened. I'll tell you who I was happy for. This kid, I'm telling you, this kid is under the radar. Bellator, I don't know if they should push him or not. Aviv Ghazali, this kid.
Yeah.
This kid's father was, they called him the Batman, the Israeli Batman. He was amazing at fighting at Bellator. He was a stud in Bellator. Now he's a 50-year-old bare-knuckle boxer. And the kid is 7-0 or 6-0 with all first-round finishes. But he's a high-level Henzo black belt. And nobody gets past a minute. And he's buried on the Bellator Underground. Fucking buried on the undercard. But, like, look, as a Jew, we finally got one. We finally got a guy who's market this dude, right? Awesome.
Yeah, he's legit, man. Like, you see him walking around. He's a goofy looking kid, you know. He's kind of like long, goofy. I think he wore like McDonald's fucking boxers, the Wans or whatever. But dude, he's legit, man. Like every fight, I'm like, okay. Because I think this is like the second or third fight card that we've been that we fought on together. And I always see him. He's kind of soft spoken and then he goes out and fucking rips people's legs off. And it's cool. I really like them. I three fights ago fought over in Israel and they were a big part. His dad, Haim or whatever is Ghazali, his dad's name, whatever it is.
Bruce Wayne.
Bruce Wayne helped get me on that. That was like the most badass trip ever. So, dude, the kid's good. But going back to like what you're talking about, Adam, Bellator's so good at building the guys up, like looking at AJ McKee's career and how they just slowly like set him up, and you see what a killer he is now and how good he is. So, they know what they're doing, and that kid's still so young, so he's going to get a lot of experience, and they're going to push him at the right time, I think Bellator is really good at that.
No, by the way, it's Bruce Weinberg. He's the Israeli Batman, so
just for it. That's so funny.
So, and then Saad Awad, another guy who fucking came out throwing heat, happy for him as well. And then Grant Neal, who beat Tyree Fortune, who was a prospect. The Fortune brothers were like wrestling practice. And this kid, Grant Neal, played football and wrestling in college. And he just ran through Tyree Fortune. He's a heavyweight to watch, this kid. Let's talk about the UFC that happened last week. Carla Esparza, I don't know what happened. It looked like someone stole her boyfriend or something. She just she was on a mission. I mean, she beat the shit out of that girl. Like, this was a different Carla Esparza. You see that fight, Austin?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, we were back here. I was following all the fights on my phone, and it was fucking crazy, man.
Oh my god! By the way, I think a good fight for Corey Nolov would be O'Malley. I think
If
O'Malley could beat Nolov, and it would really like put him next level. But if he can't, I feel like it puts Corey Nolov back to like, oh shit. So I think that's a good crossroads fight. And I think that Nolov would like nonetheless tend to beat the shit out of Sean O'Malley. So I think that's the fight to make. I know you're like, well, O'Malley's coming off two wins and Nolov's coming off a loss, but who cares, right?
But that's the name marketability and all that. I mean, it makes sense, and it's a test for, and like you said, it's a fight for O'Malley. It's like, hey, if he goes out and wins that fight, then like, all right, fuck yeah, this guy is legit. Because we know Cody's legit.
Especially the way he could win that by like double, triple Linden fucking spinning kick or some fucking nonsense, you know? And like, which is crazy. By the way, so Paige VanZant, your wife, your beautiful wife, who lost her bare knuckle boxing debut, which I got to say, I watched that. She did really well. I think if that fight would have won another round or two, she would have won. I think she was just figuring out bare knuckle boxing while she was doing it, because in the beginning she was just trying to box, and she realized, no, this is a hockey fight. You have to like hold on and just punch, and the other girl had experience with that. I don't know, but I guess it's one of those things you could tell somebody to do, but unless they're actually there doing it.
Yeah.
How did she feel about it, and who's she fighting next?
You know what? She, of course, in any fight, no matter how well you do or how well people say you did, even if you lost, you feel like shit and you're bummed out. But she did. She took a lot away from it, a lot of experience. I think, honestly, one of the most valuable attributes in bare knuckle boxing is having bare knuckle boxing fights, like the legit fights. Because like you see, you know, Paulie Malignaggi going in there and getting beat, like. You know, he's a pure boxer. He gets beat by an MMA guy. It is a different fucking sport. And she did. She learned that, you know, going into the fifth round. And unfortunately, she turned it on in the last round. And it wasn't one round earlier. Like we said, I really do think she would have knocked her out. And, you know, the girl was like spitting her teeth out at the end of the fight. And it was cool, but she's motivated, man. She's so pumped up to fight again. I believe her fight is July 23rd, and it's going to be a really big fight. It's not signed officially yet, so.
Is it Jenny Savage? Really...
No, it's a lot bigger name than that. Oh, okay. Yeah,
they just signed Rachel Ostovich, and they just signed Pearl Gonzalez.
Yeah, well, there you go. So someone right in that area. So
now they have the three hottest girls in MMA.
They know what they're doing, man. They're smart. So it's cool. She's working really hard. She's really focusing on boxing. But she's also got the itch to get back into MMA, especially being at American Top Team and all that. So, I think I went away for a second. Yeah, here we go. I'm back. So, anyways, yeah, but she's doing well. She took the loss well. She's ready to get back and fight again. And she wanted to fight sooner, but, you know, they're paying her really well, and they've got to get all their shit in line, too, and all that. So
now, is Ocho Cinco training with you guys?
No, he's not. I haven't seen him. I would love to see him, though, but I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him yet.
No, he's boxing Sean on the undercard of Logan Paul versus Mayweather. By the way, Victor.
Yeah, what do you think of all that, Adam? I gotta hear your take on the Paul brothers, all that shit.
I mean, fuck, I don't like them. I respect the success.
Yeah, for sure.
Holy shit, to have everybody hate them, I wouldn't be able to have the whole world hate me and be able to sleep at night, but.
Yeah,
these guys have no problem doing that. I talked to Victor Ortiz at my birthday party, and Victor Ortiz told me he trains with Logan Paul, and Logan Paul's gonna win. This is what Victor Ortiz is telling me. He's telling me he's the better Paul brother, and that. But the whole thing is crazy because he can't weigh less than 190 or more than 196 pounds, but. Mayweather can't weigh more than 167. So there has to be a 37-pound weight difference, a 30-pound weight difference. And they can't.
That's like written down. That's in the rules.
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
And then they also capped a small guy, which is also fucking weird.
Yeah, that's weird.
I mean, I hope Mayweather comes out there and just pieces him up, just knocks him out in fucking 6 seconds. But I don't but if a guy has a 30-pound weight advantage of you, I don't know, and you're I don't know if that's possible, right? I mean,
I don't think he's gonna go out and knock him out right away, but I do think he's gonna go out and just pick him apart methodically. I think his speed and just, I mean, we're talking about. I hear a lot of people saying like, "Oh, Logan's gonna catch him, knock him out." Granted, Floyd's fought smaller guys or guys his size this whole career, but we're talking about like one of the best defensive like boxers. In the history of, you know, the guy barely gets touched. Like, how is this kid going to go in there and not, I cannot see it happening. Like any possibility.
Isn't it like someone like saying like, you know, taking wrestling for 2 years and being like, take it on Jordan Burroughs. I mean, isn't that
exactly.
Isn't that more, but there's no knockouts in wrestling. So maybe,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know, man, but did you train with Jake Paul when he was down there?
No, I got asked to one one time, but it was actually the same weekend as Paige's fight. So I was out of town, and to be honest, like I don't even necessarily think I would have, just because, like, you know, I can't like talk shit about it, and I don't necessarily talk shit. I do respect like their grind and their tenacity and getting after it, but I can't like have the thoughts that I have and then just go in there and aid to it, you know, and go train with the guy, because I'm not getting anything out of it other than taking a fucking picture with the guy or whatever. Like, that's not making me a better fighter.
His buddy's gonna videotape it, and then he lands one punch on you. This guy's gonna go viral, and then it's the whole fucking and it's like, oh, he beat up Paige VanZant's husband and yada yada. Right.
And you know, my intentions in the sport of like MMA are so I just want to be the best, and I have a genuine goal and all that, and so for me, like, it's just the publicity and a stunt like that, and I'm just not really about it. So
I wanted to ask you, some of those pictures, right, where like Paige is holding you and she's naked and like your face is in her vagina, and like her, your ass is around her face, like, does her mom see those pictures? Like,
wait, say that again. Say, did like, you ask
parents,
that?
Like, your parents see those pictures?
Oh yeah, her parents like it. They think it's funny. They think, all that. Especially mine really think it's really funny.
They don't care that she's like spread eagle, like around your face. Like that's totally cool.
No, yeah, we are married, buddy. Yeah, I think they're hoping for grandbaby, so they're like, yeah, do whatever you guys want to do.
Well, that's probably not going to get it done, but.
Yeah, maybe not. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah.
That is so funny. Now, so McCorkle lost money on the Ben Rothwell fight against that Chris Barnett. What's his nickname?
I think they call him Huggy Bear sometimes. He's got a lot of different stuff, but he's a really good guy, man. He can fight. I turned down two fights with him. I think I told you that last podcast. Like, when I was outside the UFC, I didn't want to fight him because he can fight, man.
What do you think happened?
I didn't watch it. That's what the other night, I didn't know. I didn't know what time I was like, when I saw that was over and I lost all that, that's when I kind of quit watching any of them. I thought that the times are real messed up with some of the UFC events. Usually they don't start till 8, but sometimes they start, you know, you never know, so.
Yeah. Rothwell just wasn't right. I mean, he was just – I think he was overwhelmed. He got a little tired. Rothwell was, like, kind of out, you know, sort of out-veteraning him.
Well, that's what's weird is that Barnett's known for – I mean, when he was 330 pounds, his cardio was insane. This is the first time I think he's ever been made 265, so I thought his cardio would be phenomenal, you know. But, yeah, when I pulled up my little DraftKings thing open up, I saw how much money I was negative. I was like, oh, Barnett must have lost, so –
Yeah, so De La Hoya wanted to box GSP, right? That was supposed to happen. GSP signed off on it, and then Dana White said no way. Now De La Hoya wants to box Dana White. So, I mean, why don't they just box a boxer? Like he went for at least GSP. I mean, does GSP have any – I don't think GSP has any chance against Oscar De La Hoya in a boxing match. Right? I mean, there's no way.
I don't know. Oscar's 50 and he does a lot of cocaine, so that might
that could play a big role too. Yeah. You watched that. You watched the Triller event, right, Adam? Yes. You watched it all?
Yes.
You saw Oscar on there, like, how just fucking strung out.
Oh, it was the best. That was the best. I actually liked him better. That was the most, I liked Oscar De La Hoya.
That's so funny. Yeah,
that's what someone asked me. They said it's like Oscar is going off script. He's not reading his lines. I was like, he's doing something with his lines, but I don't know if he's reading them.
1,000%. But Oscar wants to box. I mean, he wants to box somebody. I don't know. This whole like, you know, boxers picking up MMA fighters is just like, come on. I mean, it's like getting old, and I don't understand. Now, Jake Paul versus Tyron Woodley. Austin, who wins that fight?
Tyron Woodley.
Really?
Every single day of the week.
Even though Paul,
dude, this is a legit test for him, and I truly think Tyron Woodley wins 10 times out of 10.
Good. I mean, I hope so. I really hope so.
I do too. Yeah.
I mean, he is 36. Jake Paul has been boxing like 3 years straight with the best guys. He weighs 190. He walks around at 200, 205. So does Woodley, though, probably. But I think Tyron would take it very seriously and actually have a real boxing camp as opposed to Askren, who shows up once a week, you know, to do like cardio kickboxing or something. You know, I just
Tyrone's been he's been working at the boxing gym that Paige has been at. It's gosh, I forget the coaches. I haven't been over there yet, but he's a Cuban coach. He coached the Cuban Olympic team for years or what, 20 years or whatever. And so they got just like everyone's a world champion who's training in there, a bunch of really legit guys. So
what's gonna happen? So Paul versus Wood is gonna happen.
I mean, that's what I think is gonna happen. So obviously you do too, motherfucker. So
I mean, why would also
Wood? I hope I'm not. Yeah.
No.
I'm not saying that I know for sure, but I think it's going to happen, right?
Wow.
How awesome is it that Austin is dropping every match? Oh, by the way, Paige is getting ready to fight Rachel and Jake Paul's fighting. Like he's got all the inside info, man.
And never get Hawaii wanted this interview. Dude, never get arrested for anything. You're going to fold under questioning in 3 seconds.
I'm not good. Yes, I'm not good. Yeah.
That's awesome. Dude, I am so – fuck yeah. Oh, that's going to – I'm excited for that fight. I think Woodley, especially if he's training with real boxers, holy shit, that's going to be good for him.
Adam, can you imagine – seriously, imagine if Jake Paul – this would be my move as a businessman. He beats up another MMA guy, like whoever, not Woodley, but somebody, and then he agrees to come fight in the UFC. Can you imagine how many people would pay money to see Jake Paul get beat up in the UFC?
Yeah, but, but it would be so anticlimactic because somebody would just take him down and submit him with a rear naked choke. It would just
maybe if somebody really didn't like him, though, they might just beat the shit out of him. That's what I would do. But
I just feel like it would be like Randy versus Tony or CM Punk.
But if he could make $50 million, I would take a beating for $50 million. I took a beating for $50.
I don't think that it would be. I mean, Jake Paul has some wrestling, some decent high school wrestling, but I think the submission game he would have to catch up. It'll be too much.
They
probably would put him up against a striker, and I think that with leg kicks it'd be over because he's never kicked before. So it's just the guy with like two weapons, which is a right hand and maybe some sprawl defense, you know, but he would get his leg kicked out of him, you know.
I agree 100%.
But it would be fun to watch. I'd rather watch him get knocked out by Tyron Woodley. But if he beats Tyron Woodley, I think I'm gonna quit the internet. Like I honestly, I'm gonna delete all my accounts and just go do something else in my life. Because I'll become like an ice cream man or something. I honestly don't think I can deal with the world if he beats Tyron Woodley.
Oh no way! It'd be horrible. Like I said, 10 times out of 10, Tyron wins. So
I really really hope.
And I'm trying not to jinx him either. I don't want to jinx him, but I do. I believe it.
I really, really hope so. So, Austin, who do you want to fight next?
I want to fight for the title next is what I really want. So, I believe Musasi is already going to fight Tokov, who's a Russian guy there. I think he's the second ranked guy or whatever. So, I'll fight the winner of that fight.
He almost lost his last fight, right, Tokov?
I think so. Was it against Gerald Harris? He got like dropped or something. Maybe
Logan Storley almost beat him. Was that the
okay,
guy?
Okay, yeah. No. That's my buddy Yaroslav Amosov. He's fighting Douglas Lima for the title.
That was Logan Storley almost fucking pulled it off.
Fuck, dude, I know. And I think Yaroslav's record's like 27-0, 26-0 or something. That was a hell of a fight, man. So
I think you know, some of these guys are like Logan. There's some deep wrestlers right now that like wrestling guys know who they are, but the general public doesn't know who they are.
That's
probably like the worst like guys to fight because you're like, well, I don't want to fight this guy. He's a fucking 4-time All-American, and he has 400 followers on Twitter.
No one knows who the fuck the guy is.
But that's probably how these guys from Dagestan feel about us. You know, they're like, no one wants to fight some guy from Dagestan who's a 19-time Sambo champion because you can't even find the guy on the internet, but
everyone
knows who he is. And it's fucking – and then but then you have the other end. Then you have the girl showing her fucking what she ate for breakfast on the thing, and then everyone hates what that was. So
it's just you can't win, man. There's hate all around, you know.
Hate all around. I think I prefer the twerking girl. I happen to like Valerie. I think that MMA needs these characters, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
You need the Colby Covingtons, and then you need this person, and you need the – I feel like you need all that, you know, because it's just – have you talked to Colby at all?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't I haven't seen him here. He's training in Miami. He's training at MMA Masters, I think is what it's called, or something. So I don't – yeah, don't ever see him.
I tried to start shit. I told him that you said you fucked him up in college wrestling.
He's
like, what are you talking about? I fucking took fall of that guy. I'm like, nah, dude, he said he won. He said he won.
Good, yes, yeah, that is so funny.
He said you were younger than him, but he knew that you were going to be awesome. Yeah.
He really said that, huh?
Yeah. He said you were strong as shit and that he knew you had so much potential.
Oh, well, that's really nice. Yeah, I didn't ever know he said that, so that's cool. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's after we told him we were kidding that you didn't actually say this.
Yeah. Before that, he was like, fuck that guy. Yeah.
What are you talking about? He just fucking went crazy.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Austin, thank you. McCorkle, anything you want to ask the great Austin McCorkle?
No, I was just, well, other than what he thinks about Brendan Schaub's comedy special, I was curious, Austin, you find it.
Say that one more time.
You fight at 185.
Yeah, 185.
Okay, because you said that Musasi was a champ. I was thinking you were at 170, and I was like, surely Musasi's not making 170 now, is he?
I thought
you were at 170. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so. I had started my career off at 170, and just kind of got hard cutting weight, and I thought to myself, I'd rather fight longer and not have to worry about cutting a bunch of weight. So
I wish more guys would do that. I really do wish more guys. I always felt people thought it was crazy, but I had to cut 20 pounds to make 265. And I was a way better fighter at 285 than 265 because I wasn't completely drained for, you know.
Exactly.
Cutting all that weight. So I felt way better, heavier. So.
Yeah. No, I mean, I feel like I can take a punch, be fine, and I haven't ran into anyone stronger than me at 185 and all that, and so I give up I probably give up a little reach or whatever every once in a while, but you know, I think my last opponent had like an 80-inch reach, and it all worked out good. So yeah, I do too. I wish a lot more guys would do the same thing, you know, move up a weight class, and I do think it's going to extend my career longer, and so that'll be awesome.
Yeah.
So thanks for coming on the show, brother. Have a great week.
Yep. You guys are awesome. Good to see you, buddy.
Thanks.
Thanks, man.
Take care.
All right. Yep.